Our guest this morning is our Fayette County PVA, David O'Neill. David, good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
You just got back from Vegas, but you got back from Vegas before the horror occurred there, but not too much.
Not too much. That's right. It was just a couple of days after we left. We were there for the international conference for the assessing officers.
And how many people there roughly for that?
Oh, there's a few thousand.
A few thousand.
It's an international conference.
Well, you received a nice international award. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. That's on the new assessment notice, newly redesigned, and we've worked pretty hard on that for a couple of years, so we were honored to be recognized for.
So how is it different, and how is it easier? Is it more user-friendly? What about it?
Well, it gives the taxpayers a lot more information, so that if they want to come in and conference with us on their assessment, or if they don't think it's fair or equitable, it gives them a lot more information than we've done in the past. We tell them what the five comparable sales were that we used to arrive at the value of their property, and then on the backside there's an area map that shows all of the sales. Well, it shows the 40 most recent sales in their neighborhood. Now, some neighborhoods that might only be a couple months worth of sales, and other neighborhoods it might be a year and a half's worth. But
right.
But so we think that's a lot more information.
But there's five comparables put for
every reassessed property is based on five comparable sales.
And so if the bills just went out, what, 2 weeks ago?
About that, that's
yeah,
right.
So people are in the process of paying that or making their plans to pay that or whatever. And, of course, we had the sheriff on here, and she explained how it's face value to a certain date, and then there starts to be some penalties added onto it if you don't. There's actually a break for the first month, as I recall,
2%
right?
2% discount.
Yeah, discount.
Right. And we're still in that period.
Are we? Okay. If their property is – first of all, where has property been reassessed in Fayette County?
Well, by law, we're required to physically inspect every property in the county once every 4 years.
Okay.
And historically, traditionally, that's when we do our reassessments.
Okay.
Now, that's not by law. So if we need to go into a neighborhood that's gotten out of whack, we don't have to stay on the quad plan, but we try to stay on what we refer to as a quadrennial plan.
Okay.
So we divide the county into about 300 residential neighborhoods, and we do a fourth of those every year. So that means we reassess about 25,000 properties every year. And this was a really big year.
It
was a huge year. We added $1.6 billion with a B to the tax roll this year. And so some of you probably noticed when you got your tax bill, the vast majority of you should not have seen any increase in your tax bill. And that's because for the first time in many years, the market conditions forced the tax roll to grow to a point that the school district did not take an increase in the tax rate. So if you got reassessed this year, yes, your tax bill went up due to the value of your home going up. But for the other 75% of the people, you should have seen your tax bill stay exactly the same from last year. Or if you're receiving the homestead exemption, which goes up every 2 years, you might have seen a little decrease in your tax bill.
Yeah, and I got that. I reached the golden age this year.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Explain to our listeners what that is and how it works.
Most jurisdictions have some form of a homestead exemption where once you reach a certain age, the government tries to help you remain in your home and to age in your home for as long as that's feasible. And one way they do that's through a homestead exemption. So in Kentucky, it's a set dollar amount that's taken off of the taxable value of your property. And this year it's $37,000 and something. It goes up every 2 years. It's tied to the consumer price index.
Nice.
So it did go up for 2017.
Yeah. Well, I appreciated it. I got a nice letter from you telling me if I was interested to fill out the information and get it turned in, and by golly, we made that work.
You know, the reason that you got that letter is because we get a copy of from the voter registration rolls, everybody who is going to be turning 65 in that calendar year that's on the voter rolls. But,
I see.
You know, as you know, not everybody for whatever reason may be on the voter roll. So it's important to reach out to your family, friends, and neighbors and make sure those who you think should be getting the homestead do in fact get it, because I know we're not at 100% participation, and we do
really
everything we can to reach people.
Wow.
But so, you know,
it's like free money.
It is free money, and it's worth about $450 a year in taxes, so it's not an insignificant amount of money. And if we find that somebody's 67 years old and didn't know about it, we can go back 2 years and refund.
Right. David, let's go to the calls that are holding for you. This is Rebecca to get us started. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. I have a comment. The way they have handled the reappraisals or evaluations and everything, I got my notice last January, my husband and I did, and it was quite a shock. But on my letter, it had a contact person at the office to call personally. I took my map and went out and looked at the houses they said had sold for this number of dollars. And I was a little upset about that because most of them were duplexes, but that's okay. I have a single-family home. And I dealt with that because when I called the man, he immediately, I left a message, he immediately called me back, and we resolved it, and I accepted it because we hadn't been reappraised for quite a while, or our taxes hadn't went up, and or we'd stayed the same on our value of our house, where everybody else's house value is going up. So I loved it when my value went up, because when I'm ready to get out of here, maybe I can make a little bit more on my house. Or I feel like it's justifiable. And especially because they went in and got rid of these 10-acre farms. And they did that in a fair way, I thought, too. I was at the meeting down at the library when they first started this and everything. So I'm happy with our PVA, and I think they did this these notices very proper. And the gentleman that called me back right away was very – he made it so simple and everything. So thank you very much, David.
Hang on the line. Maybe well, David has something for you. Go ahead.
Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. I'm glad that you had a good experience with our office. And it sounded like that the assessment notice worked the way it was intended to. It gave you some information to do some due diligence before you called. And I'm glad you had a good experience. Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. That's good to hear. Let's go to Bill, who is on hold here. Bill, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Good morning.
Hey, I've got a question about a deed. My wife qualifies now for the Homestead Act, and we've been married for 20 years, but apparently her name's not on our deed for the house. What would I have to do to change that?
You need to... her name has to be on the deed. So what you can do is you can file some type of a quitclaim or a deed just to add her name. So consult your local attorney or whoever it is that you use for that type of estate stuff and get her name on it there so we can get you your homestead. It is whatever spouse turns 65 first. So it sounds like in this case it's her. So you'll want to take advantage of that. And it needs to be make sure that you do that before January 1, because everything in PVA world, January 1st is the only date that matters. So whoever owns it on January 1, whatever the condition, the use on January 1, that's all that matters. So get this done before the end of the year.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet.
253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. Tell us what you did last night and what kind of reception you received.
Last night I visited the Old Richmond Road Neighborhood Association. It's also the Boone Creek Neighborhood Association. Very large group out at Gene Ferris Winery. I guess they have an annual event and potluck, and
well,
people
that's a
bring
nice
food.
Place,
but
it?
Oh. It is a nice place.
Yeah.
But anyway, many of the folks who were affected by the change in the agriculture exemption are part of that neighborhood association. So anyway, I went, and they got an opportunity to ask me questions just like your listeners are today, and it was a good experience. That some people obviously were upset because they got a much larger tax bill than they've had in the past, but it was a good experience.
All right, let's talk about real estate, how the market is. I know that generally it's up, and we've always sort of led the way in Fayette County of the whole state, haven't we, in terms of market value?
I think we do, yes. Louisville also, but they had probably more issues with foreclosures and that type of thing than we did during the recession. But the housing market right now is really tight. We've got an affordable housing crisis in Fayette County. But not only that, we have a serious issue with a shortage of houses, period. And that's affecting values, you know, just basic economics where you've got demand going up and supply is not keeping pace with it. Then, of course, prices are going up. And that's why we're seeing these large
shortage
increases.
In all areas,
just about property? All areas, but really? Especially in the $200,000 and below.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. This is Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I have a very good friend who lives in the older section of Chevy Chase, where a lot of homes have been remodeled and the prices have gone way up, but his house is definitely not one of those. And his tax bill is like $2,500. Is there anything he can do?
So when you get the assessment notice from us, and this is what I spend much of my time when I'm out talking to the public, is to really emphasize, we list our phone number on that assessment notice five times and basically plead with people to, you know, when you get the assessment notice, don't just accept it as this is what it is and there's nothing you can do about it. We really do mean that we have a conference period set aside for you to give us a call. And so when you get the assessment notice, that is our best estimate at the value of your property. It's a fairly well-educated, professional best estimate, but then the ball is in the homeowner's court to get back to us if there's some information that we need to know, because we're not doing full-blown appraisals. We're doing, for the most part, windshield inspections, and we're basing it on sales in the neighborhood. So the example that Mary gives here, where somebody's living in a neighborhood like Chevy Chase, where you've got homes that have been completely remodeled, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 houses next door to houses that are still in their 1952 condition.
Yeah.
Those are that's we need to know that. You know, we do follow up on building permits, but there's a chance that you know that those get missed, or that you know, we haven't been getting building permits forever. So you know, we don't know if somebody remodeled their kitchen in 1989.
Sure.
You know, so we can't just make assumptions all this house has never been remodeled. So we have to put it at market condition, and then if the homeowner thinks that their house is for whatever reason below market, then let us know, and I think that you'll find that we're very reasonable on that type of thing.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. So as a result of there being a shortage of housing that you just described, I'm assuming that would also cause, obviously, the prices, the values to go up.
Absolutely. Supply is not going up, or at least it's not going up to keep pace with demand, and therefore just Econ 101 tells you that prices have to go up, and they are. The median sales price is going up at about 4 to 5% per year, and the population estimates, we grow at about 1.2% a year. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but the construction of new housing units is not keeping pace with that. So I see this continuing for the foreseeable future.
Here's a couple of texts. One says, I hear the city council is considering mandating that all rental property has to be Section 8. I find this unacceptable. You know anything about that?
I don't. That's a Good. Little bit outside my
okay.
wheelhouse.
All right. Here's another one. It says, I never received a deed to my house after I paid off the loan, which was originally through a bank, but then they gave it to another company. How do I get one?
You can go to the county clerk's office. The deeds are in Kentucky. You're not required to put your deed to record, but almost everybody does. And if you're going through a mortgage company, they usually insist on it. So go to so you can look on FayettePVA.com, look for the most recent sale of your house listed on the property record, and you will find a deed book and page reference. And then you can go to the county clerk's office and look up that deed and get a copy of it. I believe they charge 50 cents per page to make a photocopy of it.
Now, the property valuation makes a determination every 4 years, as you mentioned earlier, as to the value of each property, and you mainly do it, what did you say, through the windshield? Is that what you said?
A windshield inspection is kind of a slang term. But, you know, mostly we either drive by depending on weather conditions, or, you know, if the street is real narrow and tight, we probably park the car and walk it. But unless we're looking for something specific, like if a building permit's been taken out or we think that you've had a new addition put on, we generally don't get out and walk around your house. Well, and if we do, we'll knock on the door and let you know we're on your property.
Is that right? Okay. And if you do, what are you looking for?
Some things that we're looking for, particularly in an old neighborhood, is it makes a big difference whether or not there's a modern HVAC system. So we're looking for air conditioning. Are there window units, or is there an outside air conditioning unit? We might be looking for that. We might be looking to see if there is an addition on the back. And we rely a lot more on aerial photography now than we used to, and all of that is on the website. So if you go look up your property, look for a link that says pictometry, and you will find about 12 years history of aerial photography of your property.
Wow, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow,
it's updated every 3 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that's a fairly new addition to the website. We added that about 2 years ago.
How does the value determined by your office reflect in the sales of property after that value. In other words, the lady a few moments ago said, I was fairly pleased that my value went up because maybe I'll be able to make some money on this house. Is there a direct correlation there?
Well, my office and my performance is judged by the Department of Revenue by how closely the sale prices match up with what the assessment is at the time that the property sold. But
since we
only do it once every 4 years, particularly in an economy like this where values are going up 4 or 5% a year, by the third year after your reassessment, you're going to see some fairly big differences between the PVA value and the sale price. But, you know, we shoot for 100%. We would like for them to be 100%. The State Department of Revenue starts getting itchy if it's not 90% or better countywide. So that's kind of what you can expect. But there is a lag, you know, since we only do once every 4 years.
Lexington's question of the day yesterday on our station, and you said you copied it on your website also, was tearing down the Jefferson Street Bridge, how people felt about that for the expansion of the Lexington Convention Center. And ours said, why do we always have to tear down everything in this town? That was 60%. We gave three choices. That was one of them. 14% said open it up for the expansion, tear it down. 26% said leave the bridge alone, make it for pedestrian traffic. Now, you came up with much different results.
No, actually, I think it's about the same.
Is it?
I think that if you... Add those two together.
Yeah, 60. So, well, 80. Yeah.
So you only had 14% saying tear it down,
okay.
And that's about what I saw. When I shared it on social media, it was overwhelmingly in favor of Bill Lear's editorial.
To
leave it and make it a pedestrian and bike connector between Manchester Street and Jefferson Street, and then what they end up doing at the Civic Center. And then there's an old train platform in New York City that's pretty popular called the High Line that has a lot of green space and some social areas like that. And so I think that there are some possibilities there. I was surprised at the reaction.
You came into office in 2009?
That's right, February, March 2009.
And so you've seen, you know, decline in real estate value, obviously, after the 08.
I've now seen just about the full cycle.
I was going to say, but now you've gone all the way around and seen it come back.
That's right.
Has it returned to where it was?
It has. The only thing that has not returned to where it was pre-recession is new construction. So 2005 or 6 was kind of the peak of the market in terms of property selling and new construction. And then it started dipping. And each year we sold fewer houses and built fewer houses than we had the year before. Mm-hmm. And that continued all the way until 2011. 2011 was the bottom of the market. 2012, we started seeing the pendulum swing the other direction. And we are now back to pre-recession levels in terms of the number of houses that are sold each year. But we have not changed. We're still at the 2011 level in terms of new houses being constructed, and that's part of this supply issue I was talking about earlier. We're just not building new houses.
And it looks to me that if you were in that business, then this would be what you'd want to be doing right now because of the fact that there is a shortage.
Oh, sure.
Of houses.
Sure.
But
it looks like that, you know, the new subdivisions that are being built in other places are being built in Georgetown and Scott County that's growing three times faster than Fayette County is.
Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Scott County is. How about Jessamine?
Jessamine County is growing faster than we are. So is Woodford. So is Madison. Clark County a little bit less than us. But most of the counties around us are growing. We are below the seven-county region in terms of how fast
we're
growing.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think the developers and the real estate industry will say that there's a lack of inventory of land to build houses on. But I think there's also some studies that show that there's a lot of land available for infill and redevelopment within the urban service area. But I think that we need to work on an infill and redevelopment strategy. We don't make it as easy a process to do infill development as we should.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me in the real estate business, talking about different kinds of houses and different kinds of construction, that because of our aging population, that single-level houses have become more popular where you don't have to climb steps, and therefore they are more valuable than a comparable square footage house that's maybe on two or three floors. Is that true?
I think that you're seeing that the older end of the spectrum of our home buying population are aging in place more so and longer than they were in the past, and that particular demographic would prefer a one level house. So in certain markets, yes, I would think that would be a more desirable house.
But if you had two houses next to each other in comparable square footage, one was on one level and the other was on two, would the single level be worth more?
I think that, on a value per square foot, that's always been the case.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But right now, you know, the Cape Cods, the story and a half, and the two story, anything in New Circle Road, inside New Circle Road, is going to be going up in value because there's just a lack of it.
Yeah.
And so neighborhoods that tradition, like my neighborhood, I live out in the Clay's Mill corridor, kind of in the Southland Drive area, mm-hmm. not quite as far out as Stonewall. In that neighborhood, there really hadn't been a whole lot of turnover. I've lived in my house for 25 years in the street I live on that we're just now, for the first time since I've lived there, seeing kids out playing in the street because
really?
The neighborhoods are really turning over and younger families are moving in.
And then Stonewall, you mentioned, because that was such popular and still is a place to live. But these big ranch-style homes with lots of property, big lots, are no longer in vogue, right?
They're still popular, but like you said, those are big sprawling ranches that might be ideal for somebody who wants to age in place, but the half acre yard probably isn't.
Right.
But that's still a very popular neighborhood.
And David O'Neill is our Fayette County Property Value Administrator. Got it right that time. Let's go back to the calls for him. This is Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just heard something he said earlier about when the first person that turns age 55 in your home to do something with the mortgage or something. I was confused, and I wanted to see if he could please repeat that.
Sure. It's 65. It's the homestead exemption in Kentucky. So once you reach the age of 65, then you qualify to receive a reduced assessment for property tax purposes to allow you to remain in your home longer. And it's whichever spouse turns 65 first, then we can go ahead and put it in place. And it's the year that you turn 65. So if you turn 65 in November, you don't have to wait until your birthday. Go ahead and get it to us early in the year so that we can make sure it's on that year's tax bill.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thank you.
And open phone lines once again, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. We have some texts that just came in. Can you contest your assessment a year or more after it has changed?
No. The only way that we can go back, so we send out assessment notices. We shoot for April 15th every year. I notify you by mail if I changed your assessment from one year to the next. And so once you get that assessment notice, that kind of kicks off our protest period. And that runs through about the middle of May. And once that date comes and goes, I can't go back and make any changes on an old tax record.
Okay, now, procedurally, how does that work? You said you put your phone number down there a number of times. Call in, make an appointment, or what happens?
Generally, so you will be notified. On your assessment notice, you will see the name of the assessor in my office who actually placed the value on your property and their phone number and their email address, and so you can initiate the conversation with that assessor. Now, keep in mind that we reassess 25,000 properties a year, and so everybody gets their notices in the mail on the same day.
Okay.
So we have an office policy that we must return all phone calls to our office within 24 hours, but It might take us the full 24 hours with that many out there. So please don't keep calling back if you don't hear from us in an hour or so, because It's a very, very busy day, all hands on deck, And we will get back to you. But anyway, that kicks off the opportunity to talk to us, and you'll get to conference with that assessor. And they'll review the comparable sales that were used on your property that you should be aware of, because they'll be listed on your assessment notice. And we'll also talk about the condition of your property, if there are issues that we should be aware of. Maybe you've got an idea. Maybe you know, because you've lived in that neighborhood for a long time, that there are other properties that are more comparable than the ones that the computer chose. So, you know, maybe you've recently refinanced and you have a current appraisal. We'll be more than happy to talk to you about your appraisal.
What is the percentage of challenges just off the top of your head? Is it 1%, 10%?
It's probably maybe initially it's about 5%. Now, that number's gone down dramatically with the new assessment notices, because it used to be that somebody would get a little card in the mail saying, here's your new assessment notice you know, good luck.
Yeah,
type
right.
Of, type of
you're
thing.
On your own, right?
Right. And so we would, once they would then call and we would say, you know, because most people might know if the house next door to them sold, but they don't know the big picture of what all's going on in the neighborhood generally.
Right.
And so when we would start reviewing, say, did you know that all these houses on your street sold and here's what they sold for, that would take care of 90% of the phone calls. So that, and that's another reason that these assessment notices are so successful.
Okay. Well, that's good. And that's why you got the award.
Yes, sir.
You rascal, you. Let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, I just got something to add. I didn't get to hear the whole program, but on the homestead exemption, you're also eligible for it if you're on Social Security disability or SSI.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, that's a very good point. So the homestead exemption is for age, and it's also if you're permanently disabled and you're drawing some type of disability payment, either from Social Security or some other similar agency, then you might and probably qualify for the homestead exemption that way as well.
Thanks for your call. So of the roughly 5% of people that have a problem with their assessed value, after you meet with them and show them how you came up with that number, it's got to be a very small percentage.
It's a very small percentage. Yeah. I think that this year we ended up with maybe 200 taxpayers who ended up going before the Board of Tax Appeals.
That's it?
And, yeah, and most of those are usually commercial properties because, you know, keep in mind that sometimes especially the bigger operations have entire departments in their corporation that deal with nothing other than challenging their property tax assessments. So, and the ones that end up going to the State Board of Tax Appeals are almost always commercial. Some of you may have be aware of the Walgreens case that we recently won, and that
yes.
was, you know, that was a 5-year
right
ordeal.
Let's go to Anita. Good morning, Anita. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And we just worked with Mr. O'Neill's office regarding reassessment of our property, which was on the records as a farm. It's 10 acres, 0.1. And we did get the exemption because the farmland exemption because we have rented our property to grow corn and soybeans. On that approval for us to remain a farm, when we sell our property, we do have to come up for reconsideration. And, you know, some people want to buy so that they can keep farmland, which is Lexington has been very respectful of maintaining farmland. So what I'm asking Mr. O'Neill is that written in stone that we have to be re-evaluated? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. I appreciate it.
I don't recognize the name or the voice to know the specifics of her issue, but what it sounds like is there are a number of property owners who are continuing to receive the agriculture classification because they are grandfathered in for whatever
okay.
reason. Because there's a provision in the law, it's called the retired farmer provision, that if you've been getting it for 5 or more years and you rightfully qualified for it at some point, then you get to keep it for as long as you own that property. So that we can allow so that farmers don't have to actually farm their land when they're 90 years old. Let
okay.
them stay on the land and retire at some point. But once that land does transfer, then the new owner, it's incumbent upon them to apply for the exemption in their own right. So I think that's a reasonable aspect of the law.
Brian, good morning.
Good morning. I had a quick question. I'm in Tax District 3, and I have my little stamp from paying that on October 2nd. You don't get any brownie points for that, I don't think. My question was, I live at Griffin Gate. Is there any or has there been any different treatment for places who pay for their own street lights, pay for their own plowing, and as we just recently did, repaved all our streets? Is that anything that's ever been under discussion?
Well, that's kind of what the differences in the taxing districts are. So, and by the way, you did get some brownie points for paying your tax bill before November 1st. You get a 2% discount.
But I guess getting down there the Monday after you get it in the mail, I don't think you have any Gold Star program.
You probably get a nice thank you from the sheriff's office. But anyway, back on your.
Well, I used to take it down there, but now with the implementation of the modified strip search to get up the stairs, I just go to the bank.
Exactly. So on your bigger question on the tax district, so we've got several taxing districts in Fayette County. I believe there's 7 or 8, and they're all based on the level of services you receive from the city. It's not a geographic district that we think of like a political district. It's based on services. So district number one is full services. So you get garbage pickups, street cleaning, snow removal, street lights, everything. District three, I don't remember exactly what the reduced services are, but it's less than the full services.
They are getting credit for it.
So you are paying a lesser tax rate because you're receiving fewer services. So Griffin Gates is the gated community up off Newtown Pike, for those who don't know. And so they're probably not getting snow removal and things like that. And they do pay a lower tax rate for that.
I see that a lot of things seem to be the same as you go across the state, school, general service, extension service.
Yeah, the only difference you're going to pay is based on the general services and the city related services. The state and the schools, that's all exactly the same regardless of what city services you're receiving.
Okay, so the reason that on the back of my invoice there or tax bill, so the fact that it. And I don't see even in District 1, I see full service in District 1. In District 2, I see nothing listed below in the individuals, your refuse, streetlights, and things like that. So in District 3, all I see, which we do have, you guys pick up the trash on that. So the fact that just nothing appears in that, that is how it is spread out. I was unclear as what was printed there is if it was a deviation from the norm coming off the .1733 or if it was an exemption from that. So that looks like it does, that chart on the back, explain that.
Yeah, so District 2 is the rural part of the county that receives none of those services. So their property tax rate's a little bit closer to 1%, whereas those of us who live in District 1, which is most of us, pay 1.22%.
I see. So the other than the refuse and street lights, but the street lights themselves, nothing I see on there pertains to the actual the streets themselves. You know, the paving and maintenance of the street. There is nothing that pertains directly to that.
No, we all pay for that.
Appreciate your call, sir. A couple of texts here before we run out of time. Now, I hope you understand this because I don't. How are the PDR properties assessed? In a Herald Leader article, property owners could get a second appraisal, which would be a higher property value, which means the owner got more PDR money. Are the farm owners being taxed at a higher rate than by PVA?
Well, that's kind of a complicated question, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to give a fully satisfactory answer. But the farms that are receiving the PDR protection are probably receiving the agriculture exemption or the agriculture classification. So they're being taxed not on their full market value.
I see.
So when a PDR applicant comes forward with their own appraisal, the appraisal is going to reflect what they think they could get for it if they were to sell it on the open market. And that's not the way farms are taxed for property tax purposes. It's based on the agriculture value.
Here's another text. Says, what price range houses have appreciated the most in the last 5 years? Would they be on $200,000 and below, since there's a demand for that?
I did some analysis last year when I gave a presentation at the Gatton Schools Economic Outlook Conference, and at that time, the neighborhoods that had appreciated the most over that 10 or 12-year period was Kenwick, which is not going to be terribly surprising to many people, and then second to Kenwick is much of the 40502 Tates Creek Road corridor, Ashland Park, Chevy Chase, Lansdowne, that area, and they were in the between 40% and 45% appreciation over a 10 or 12 year period.
Got about 30 seconds left. Here's a text that says, how many employees do you have to do such an incredible job in your office, and how many contractors do you use?
We've got 23 of us in the PVA office that work full-time. I've got currently 4 part-time, mostly college interns working in tech-related stuff and GIS stuff. And we don't really contract out much except for the hosting of our website and some software that we use for assessing purposes.
David, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it.